You're gonna
do our intro. Yeah, right now. You're gonna come in with the intro like normal.
Hey, boners.
Are we recording?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, it's me, John. I'm not feeling too good. So I'm gonna let these guys take over this week. I'm in the toilet, I guess. Welcome, 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 welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome to this week's Fantasy Hustle. This week with me is my main man, Brad. My main man, Matt. My main man, Brendan. I gotta go back in the toilet.
Bye, John.
See you later, John. All right.
Get better, John.
Here we are, Fantasy Hustle, back in action after a couple weeks off here. We didn't do a week 17. We didn't do a pre-week one of the playoffs. But here we are after the first week of the playoffs. We're back to talk to you about some football. I don't know if there's going to be a whole lot of fantasy talk, but definitely going to talk to you about what we saw this past weekend in the NFL and what we have looking forward to this weekend. Of course, John, he's not feeling too well. He's in the bathroom. He's going to chime in maybe when he can. But we got... two of our favorite guest hosts this year. We got Mr. Matt and Mr. Brendan. How you guys doing?
Great. Is it our fourth time together?
Yes, it is. It's my fourth time on the show, and I feel like this is the best honor I've ever had to be able to join you for one. So
it was our fourth time with a true foursome with John here the whole time, not on the toilet half the time.
Poor John.
Sorry.
It's okay, John. We're all rooting for you.
And we got our producer back in studio.
Hey, man.
Strutting on the one.
You guys didn't remember what I sounded like.
No,
totally different from the voice from earlier. This is my real voice. I'm going to go sit with John.
All right. And it looks like John is actually leaving with Strutton now, so... It'll just be the three of
us. See
ya! All right, so, like I said...
Where are they going?
Who cares?
They're going to the bookstore bathroom. Oh. All right, so like I was saying there, we had football this past weekend. Not the greatest action, I would say. I don't know about you guys, but it was low scoring, kind of head-scratching at times with what Seattle was trying to do. What the Chargers did to the Ravens for three quarters. And we were talking before the show kind of what the Bears were doing offensively as well. So we're going to dive into all that. And, you know, first thing, Saturday afternoon game, we had the Colts going to Houston and taking care of business. And, you know, Indy is on fire right now. They started 1-5. They rattled off 9 of their last 10 games. And their only loss was, you know, 6-0. You know, I don't even know what
Jaguars.
You call it to the Jaguars.
How?
That doesn't make any sense. So I don't know if Jaguars just felt like we got one chance here to kind of make something of our season, or Colts kind of took them for granted, or what. But not a pretty performance there. But every other game they have been very, very good, including, you know, a shutout of the Cowboys a couple weeks after that. So. I think this Colts team is something the Chiefs didn't want to see. But, yeah, the Colts, like I said, they won 21-7, and this is their first playoff victory actually since their first playoff game since the 2014 AFC Championship game, which better known as the Deflategate game. So it's nice to see them back. Andrew Luck's back. He's rolling. He's probably going to be comeback player of the year. And I tell you what, this is a team that, like I said, Kansas City should be fearful of.
I think so. You're absolutely right on Luck. He's back. He looks elite again. With that offensive line they brought in, they ran Marlon Mack had like 125 yards rushing.
24 carries for 148
yards. 148 yards. I didn't expect that.
No.
But yeah, I mean they shut. They didn't. How many sacks did they allow? One or none? No sacks, right?
I don't believe so.
No sacks with Clowney, Watt, all those guys on that line.
Yeah, and I think
merciless.
I think it's been that when they have all five of their starters, I think they've only given up one sack this year, and it hasn't been too many. I think it's only six games, but they're 5-1, and they've only given up one sack in those six games with all their starters. So that offensive line has, and that was a weakness when for the longest time with Andrew Luck and that
his entire that career.
Yeah, so now they finally got something there. I tell you, Quentin Nelson, dead dude.
He basically came in and changed everything.
That dude is amazing. I watched on Twitter. I watched just a quick little recap of the game just from his perspective, all his highlights, and unbelievable. An offensive guard had that much effect and just that many big-time plays. But
they got balanced now, you know, with Luck and Mack. So, you know, having that 1-2 option there, and then you got Hilton on the outside, too, when they need to stretch you. So, the team's revamped. They look like a whole new, you know, it's a whole new program down there.
Yeah, and their defense has also been outstanding. I think they've given up the third least points over the last half of the games.
And so they come up big, and when at the end of the game there, when they need to step up and shut teams down, and I think again, you had Quentin Nelson, all pro rookie. Their linebacker,
Darius Leonard,
all pro rookie. First time since.
Not a Pro Bowler, though, right?
Not a Pro Bowler, no.
All pro.
The Pro Bowl is great, and we might get into that
maybe
later
on. Maybe
the show.
An alternate.
But first
if
time.
If he's lucky.
First time two rookies from the same team were all pros since Gale Sayers and Dick Butkus. And obviously, we know, being where we live, the history of those guys, and I think anyone who ever watched an NFL game should know what those guys are. So that's pretty special. I mean, I think you got two guys, an offensive guy and a defensive guy, that are going to be cornerstones for years to come for that team. The other side of the ball there, Houston, you know, this is Deshaun Watson's first playoff game. There's a couple of guys who had their first career playoff game this weekend. And, you know, he was sacked 62 times this year. And the exact opposite we were talking about there with the Colts, you know, Luck, that was his Achilles heel. That was their Achilles heel. He just always had pressure, could never get comfortable, especially when you get in the playoffs there. And
I think,
you know, it notches up. So Watson, 62 sacks this year, 3 in this game. And that's a big reason why Houston couldn't compete.
And I think that's a combination of him, one, trying to do too much. You know, with being mobile, sometimes he holds on to the ball a little bit too long and then pays for it. And then two, I think once they lost Fuller, you know, early on in the season, they never really had that secondary receiving option emerge. Like, you know, QT had a couple games where he stepped up, had a couple 100-yard games, but they never really had that guy outside of DeAndre where, you know, they could count on him week in and week out. So, you know, it's tough. I think Houston has a good foundation, though, again, where, you know, they'll be able to build with some of the young talent that they do have.
Yeah, Lamar Miller's a Pro Bowler.
he's a Pro Bowler now. I don't know how he did it, but he is there.
Can't wait for who you got next year with him.
Oh, gosh. He'll be on your team again.
Of course.
He'll be a sucker.
Sixth round?
If I'm lucky.
So that is Indy-Houston. The other game, Saturday night, Dallas hosting the Seahawks. Dallas won 24-22, and really, it didn't really feel that close. I didn't really ever feel like Dallas was in trouble in this game. Their defense is good, and they got a couple of good linebackers there. They got to pay DeMarcus Lawrence. They can't let him go. He's one of the best edge rushers in the game. But between that defense and Ezekiel Elliott, I mean, that's all they really needed in this one. And, of course, Prescott, he did have a couple of big plays, big times. The biggest one, I think, was the 3rd and 14 late in that game there, and he picks up 16 yards to put him down to the 1-yard line. Eventually, they punch it in to basically ice the game. But the problem I had with this game...
Not in Rathburn's book.
Yeah. they should have taken three knees and kicked the field goal, is what he thought.
Terrible move.
Leaving them 40 seconds, which, you know, Tyler Lockett just goes down the field and picks up 50 yards for you, and all of a sudden you're right there. But, yeah, I think Seattle just... They played that game like they had Lamar Jackson at quarterback. They did not play that game like they had Russell Wilson. It was run on first down, run on second down. Okay, third and medium. Russell Wilson save us. And he did a couple times, but most of the time he didn't. And I don't understand why they didn't, you know, come out of that, adjust in any way whatsoever. It was very baffling to me.
Well, they've been the best rushing team in the league all year. So I think that's really, you know, where they earn their bread and butter. So I can understand trying to force that initiative, but they weren't really having any success against the Cowboys. And that goes kind of, you know, really across the board. Penny struggled, Carson struggled, Mike Davis had a couple carries. None of them could get going. So credit Dallas. And just, you know, these games were, all four games really were defensive battles with Dallas having that, you know, the high score of the week with 24 points. So,
yeah, Seattle had a bad game plan going in. I think they got one big run from Penny, and that was it, like 20-something yards.
Yeah,
and
28-yarder.
Wilson made some great throws. That fourth down where he had Baldwin on the sideline, I thought that was like a turning point in the game, but it didn't really happen.
Yeah, to go back to what Brendan said there, Chris Carson had 13 carries for 20 yards. Mike Davis had 4 for 10. Penny had 4 for 29, but like I just said, he had a 28-yarder, so basically it's 3 for 1. That's not going to get done. I mean, you're talking less than 2 yards a carry. I don't care, you know, who you're playing and how good your defense is, which I don't think Seattle's defense is really that good. I think it was kind of because they were so good at running the ball this year, it kind of...
Keeping teams off the field.
Yeah, it kind of patched up, you know, the holes there, and you didn't know how bad they really were. But we got to see how, you know, Dak third downs and that team staying on the field for so long, and Cowboys just taking care of business. And Seabass hurts his, his hamstring or his quad, kicking a 50-yarder at the end of the first half there. And then they couldn't kick field goals, and that became a thing. And then they ended up covering the spread because they had to go for two there late in the game instead of kicking the extra point. So if you're a betting man, that came into play.
How about the onside kick?
That was a great onside kick. I don't think anybody saw it coming. Isn't that what you want? You want to surprise the other team?
It was like 100 yards in the air.
Yeah, didn't he fair catch it? Or I'm not. He might. Yeah.
He had a chance.
There was no one that had a chance at that ball other than that one guy. I mean, nobody for Seattle had a shot at that ball. And I don't know. I mean,
Janikowski would have got it done.
Oh yeah. I mean, if you're Janikowski, you do the little straight kick straight ahead, and you run as fast as you can. It's not going to be very fast.
No.
But imagine that guy running at you as a kicker as opposed to...
I just wouldn't want him to touch me.
It's true. He was a first-round pick. Let's not forget that.
I'll never forget that.
So, again, Zeke Elliott had 26 carries for 137 yards and a touchdown. He was the lone bright spot other than Marlon Mack as far as running went this weekend. Dak Prescott, 226 yards. Like I said, wasn't anything spectacular, but he didn't need to be. He had big plays at the big time. Amari Cooper, you know, 106 yards. And obviously, I think Amari Cooper's kind of showed.
He looks good again.
He's worth that number one pick they gave up, and they're gonna
he's
give him.
He's gotta get paid.
They're gonna pay him. Yeah, for sure. You can't.
Is something wrong with Derek Carr? Because what was happening with them this year? He looked like garbage.
John Gruden just...
The whole offense did.
So. Yeah,
ruined that team.
I think it's just a combination of maybe Derek Carr not being very good and John Gruden maybe
not being very good.
Worth $100 million or whatever he got. So
I think it's instilling almost that confidence, though, in Cooper where, you know, Oakland, some games they would feed him and he'd get, you know, 8 to 10 to 12 passes, you know, and then next game they'd throw him the ball three times. So it's like... Dallas has continued to make sure he's getting targets game in, game out. Granted, he hasn't always had huge performances, but they showed that they want to rely on him. So
yeah, he's getting volume.
Yeah,
and in the NFL, running back or receiver, especially fantasy wise, that's what you want. So He's a good play going forward, I think. Dynasty leagues and our league, whatever, keeper leagues, or just redraft, I think you'll see him going pretty high since he had a pretty good rapport there with Dak. All right. Sunday at noon, we had the ever-exciting Chargers taking on the Baltimore Ravens. I'm not going to lie. I didn't watch very much of this game. I was... Oof. That is the sound of a Chargers-Ravens game that did not put me to sleep.
Are we in Jumanji?
Because I didn't watch very much of it, like I said. But honestly, this game had...
You just roll the die?
23-17, Chargers taking care of the Ravens, and Chargers defense stepped up huge. They had 7 sacks and 3 turnovers, and Mike Badgley was 5-for-6 for kicking, and those 15 points was almost all they needed. They did score a Melvin Gordon touchdown, but again, this was a game that didn't do a whole lot offensively until late. The Chargers went out there. They had 7 DBs on the field most of the game to slow down the run game, slow down the great athleticism of Lamar Jackson, and he had nothing going, Lamar Jackson. They were down 23-3 with 9 minutes left. Lamar Jackson actually was 2-for-8 for 17 yards and an interception at halftime. And I know a lot of people were talking about...
They're talking about bringing Flacco.
Bringing Flacco in. I think it was the right move staying with Jackson. I don't see why you would go back to Flacco.
There's no need to bail there.
Yeah.
Just let him roll. They almost came back. They had their chance. If he wasn't so awful in the first half. So
They had their chance, and unfortunately a big defensive play. You know, they had the ball with time to get down the field, and one more big defensive play, sealed it for the Chargers.
He's got to stop fumbling, though.
Yeah, they had 4 fumbles as a team, and he had 3 of them. Not a good.
He's fun to watch.
He's very fun to watch. If he starts throwing the ball with some consistency and accuracy, it could be a really nice offense there going forward. Especially, I love the Gus Bus. So
it's interesting. I don't know how long it can last.
No, they have to get some receiving options though for him as well. There's really no one to throw to on that team. So, with the guys that he has,
not a Crabtree fan.
A couple years ago,
don't want to climb that tree.
Crabtree's yeah, best years were behind him. He's on his way out. So,
yeah, I do think that would be a huge boost for them. Obviously, if they could get something going there as far as receiving options.
What do you think?
What is going on?
Did you just start a video or something?
Okay, so anyway, John Brown, he was a nice piece early on with Flacco, and then he
disappeared
with Jackson, which is understandable. They have like 5 tight ends that they like. One of them might be good, but yeah, I think now it comes down to the Chargers. They really don't have a home field advantage, so they go on the road. They're a good road team, and they take care of the Ravens. Now they got to come back out to the East Coast and take on the Patriots, and
I think they win that game.
You're taking them over the Patriots? We'll get to that later.
Okay.
Yeah, let's keep that one in the box. Dang it.
Where?
All right, so we'll move on there.
Cue the what's in the box sound effect.
Somebody water. We got another. Oh my god.
That's what we're hoping for. So now the
soundboard
moment.
Soundboard is crazy today.
it's been fire.
I tell you what.
Now let's go to the moment. Kind of why you two are here. Of course, John didn't get the stomach ache and have to sit on the toilet the whole time. He would be here as well, enjoying this. The Sunday early evening game, I guess you can call it. Philadelphia Eagles go to Chicago and win 16-15. I'll just step back. I'll let one of you guys just start it here.
Okay, so are we gonna go play by play?
Yeah.
Full play-by-play.
All right. Let me pull this up here. So, all right. Cody Parkey started off with a 65-yard kick for a touchback.
And then, hang on one moment. Why don't you take the next play, too?
All right.
Wendell Smallwood ran for 2 yards. I thought, great start.
Great start, yes.
That's what I was thinking at that point. Then Foles passed to Smallwood again for 22 yards. I thought, uh-oh. They went no huddle.
Okay, so this game, obviously the biggest favorites of the weekend were the Bears, six and a half point favorites. You know, I don't think anybody was really thinking the Eagles didn't have a shot. I think there was always that thought that the Eagles could win this game. Obviously, they're defending Super Bowl champions, and you know, Nick Foles has got some kind of magic going on. That defense stepped up here, but ultimately, there's a lot that we're going to get to in this game. I want to ask you guys some questions, what your thoughts were on some things. First off, would you have rather, obviously in retrospect, had the Vikings on Sunday instead of the Eagles?
No.
You're happy with the Eagles?
They should have won the game. I mean, they were in position in the fourth quarter with an easy kick to win the game. So, I'm not going to... They already beat the Vikings twice. You come in a third time against an offense which is still really dangerous and a pretty good defense that you kind of beat up in that last game with some scrubs. I think the Vikings would have been just as good of a matchup as Philadelphia. So,
and everyone wants to look back at the kick, like, yeah, he missed it, and that was so tough to lose that way. But the offense had the chance at the 2-point conversion and missed, which even with the, you know, missed kick, we could have. Wow, these. Even with the missed kick, you know.
Give me some background music like that when I
talk. I'm sorry. Even with the missed kick, you know, would have been tied going into overtime. And then you look at, we've relied on the defense the whole year, and they give up the late drive and touchdown on fourth down in the red zone. So, you know, any of those plays go different, who knows what happens, whether the game goes in overtime or, you know, game ends, you know, right there after the Eagles drive. So, like Matt said, I don't, you know, maybe it's easier to say now, go back and, yeah, I'd love to play the Vikings if they look like they did in week 17, but Minnesota could have came out firing, so.
The Bears couldn't get touchdowns.
Yeah.
They couldn't convert. Once they would put together solid drives and then stall at the 20 or 30, three times they did that. They finally got a touchdown in the fourth quarter. Trubisky was great in the fourth. He was a little shaky, I felt like, in the first few drives. He missed a few guys. But overall, I thought he played pretty good. I'm not sold on him as being great yet, but I thought it was a pretty promising start for him. The fourth quarter was really encouraging to see that you could lead that kind of drive and put yourself in position to win. So, he's got the arm to do it. Maybe another year in the offense, they look better. But it was the kick was tough.
It was a terrible way to lose.
It was a bad way to lose. But going back to Brendan, you talked about that they could have got that 2-point conversion to go up 7. So when Philadelphia scores and kicks the extra point, it would have been a tie game with Parkey then having opportunity. So back to that 2-point conversion. What did you think of the call on that play? Bringing Mac in, just having him as a decoy, do you like that, or do you want guys on the field that can be an actual threat and not just a decoy?
I think you kind of got to take the good with the bad sometimes with those plays. Unfortunately, that one didn't work, but I understand the premise. I don't think it was a horrible call, but that call could have worked other times. It probably still would work again if they did it, but I don't know.
Yeah, the play was a little weak, if you ask me. There wasn't much to it. So, yes, you have Mac in there as a distraction, but I don't know. We've seen some razzle dazzle plays that you know that he has pulled out of the you know back of the playbook this year, and they've looked amazing. So, you know, I'm not going to question his play calling. You know, he's an NFL coach for a reason.
Yeah. My only issue, like, what I would do is you have Allen Robinson, who can go up and get the ball better than probably anybody else in that field. Well, Alshon's pretty damn good at it, too. But Allen Robinson's one of the best at just going up and catching footballs. He had a monster game. Don't you think you want him on the field there in that position? I mean, I know they had success there doing that all year, but I still like that play. Just give me one-on-one against who the hell were the Philadelphia Eagle corners, too.
They had Corey Graham out there. That guy played special teams for the Bears 20 years ago.
Like, I get it going up against, you know, Minnesota or, you know, a team that has some pretty good, you know, cover guys or big physical guys. But, yeah, I don't know. I feel like that's an easy pitch and catch for anybody when you have Allen Robinson going up against, you know, the hodgepodge of guys they had there. The other thing, the offensive play calling, we talked about this beforehand. You had Taequann Mizell getting an early carry, getting an early target. Tariq Cohen only getting one carry. Benny Cunningham had a carry. Jordan Howard only had 10 carries. So they didn't get Howard going. Cohen only had, what, I think, three receptions on 5 targets. So the game plan really didn't include probably your most dynamic player in Tariq Cohen. So
I had issues with the personnel. I don't know why Benny Cunningham is getting a carry in a playoff game. I don't know why Taequann Mizell is getting a carry in a playoff game when you have Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen should be. I understand using those guys in the regular season, but now you put your best players on the field, just like you were saying, for that 2-point conversion. And Josh Bellamy was out there, made a huge play, but still just really strange groupings out there. I don't understand what was going on. They didn't get Tariq in the game at all. He made one huge catch in first or second quarter, and that was it. They gave him one carry, and he just – I didn't see any nothing very creative with him that they did.
They've, you know, all year long – they've kind of transitioned from game to game almost at times of what the plan's going to be. They've had games where they've really featured Howard and fed him the ball. They've had games where Cohen's just completely carried the team. They've had a game or two where, and kind of happened in a playoff game here, where Allen Robinson blew up and provided that, you know, the numbers are moving down the field. So, you know, and Mitch really did play well enough in this one, but I think where the Bears go get next year is they solidify themselves as like, hey, this is what we can do. And whether it's running the ball down your throat with, you know, with a Howard Cohen combination, I think you start to see that offense open up a little bit more. I think Mitch, you'll start to see him develop and, you know, spread the ball a little bit more. Cause he tends to lock onto one guy. I feel like each, you know, where he'll pick, hey, here's my guy, this game that blows up. I feel like, so I look for them next year to have a little more, you know, balance throughout the offense and more players involved each game.
And what you were saying there about how they have a different game plan going every week, who they want to get the ball going, that's not uncommon as what Kansas City did this year, where Nagy's obviously coming from. You know, you have Hill games where he's up and down before Hunt turned into a kicker. He had games where he would go up and down. Obviously, Kelce is usually pretty solid, but he has games where he goes up and down, or not too down, but you know what I mean. So they have guys that kind of come out of nowhere that put on good performances that you weren't expecting. So maybe that's kind of the thing kind of coming from Andy Reid, where they're just trying to keep defenses on their toes. And I mean, it worked all year. They had a pretty good offense. They were 12-4.
I think maybe they'll get somebody looking the other way when they have a Taequann Mizell or Benny Cunningham out there, and that's your chance for maybe a long play. Those kind of misdirection kind of, yeah. Let me try and fool you, but it didn't work today. It hasn't worked for Taequann Mizell at all. I don't know. Yeah, they keep giving that guy chances to make plays, and one carry, 1 yard, one catch, 5 yards, nothing. He hasn't done anything, and he wasn't good in college either.
One final question here on the offense. How big was Trey Burton's absence?
Well, it was weird. It was definitely strange.
That he randomly gets hurt?
That he hurt his groin overnight?
It was Chicago orgies.
I wouldn't know. I'm a married man, but thanks for telling me about it, Brandon. Well,
our Chicago man here.
Yeah, I've never, experienced one of those.
Okay.
Myself.
Not so fast. How long have you been in Chicago?
You know what? You know who would be the guy to ask about something like that? It would probably be John.
John?
But
yeah. I can't. No input. Married man. Shitting. Football, it is what it is. You know it is what it is.
Well, I don't think it was the biggest, reason why we lost. He hasn't done much really all season long. So, and Robinson was able to really step up and, you know, be that number one target. So I think not having Burton wasn't why we lost the game.
It could have opened maybe some stuff up for Cohen, but it could have hurt. I mean, maybe there's a big play where you don't give Benny Cunningham a carry or you don't target Adam Shaheen.
All very true. Moving on to the defense, just one quick question on the defense. Were you disappointed at all in the way Philadelphia was able to move down the field on that final drive and come away with a touchdown?
Yeah, I felt like third down was a problem all day. They'd stop them, put them in a third and seven or third and eight, and then they'd convert it with a – Elshon Jeffrey was big on those all day, I felt like. Zach Ertz, too. But that's kind of what they do. They gave up part of it is on the defense because they gave up those two touchdowns. So I don't really know what to say. They caused the two turnovers. I think the offense could have probably done a little bit more as well. And they were in a position to win the game. They only gave up 16 points to a pretty good offense. So I don't really know who's to blame in this other than Cody Parkey.
Brendan?
It was disappointing on that last drive. I felt like, oh, this is it. You wanted them on the field the entire year. You know, they gave up some big yardage right away on that drive. And then as they got into the red zone, started to lock down a little bit more. And, yeah, they got it to fourth down. I thought we were going to win the game on that play, and it didn't happen. The Eagles ended up, you know, winning the game on that play. So
it's a playoff game, and it isn't. It wasn't Rams versus Bears where they were shutting them down the entire day. So offense usually kind of wins at the end of those games, those close ones. Bears didn't shut them down, but they still gave themselves enough time to drive the field. Mitch made great throws on that last drive, and they were in a position to win.
I think, too, something that amazes me, this, and he's going to get paid big, big, big bucks this offseason, is Nick Foles. The guy just manages to win games. So, the Eagles could have a question on their hands in another couple of weeks if they were, if they're able to run the table, maybe win another Super Bowl. And it's far-fetched. I don't think they're in as good a position as they were last year, obviously. But, is that a guy you bring back? I think they have an option to bring him back at about $20 million. So it'd be interesting to see what happens there.
Someone's got to sign him to start.
Oh, someone will.
Yeah, someone's going to sign
him.
Jacksonville
or... There's no way they can afford to bring him back.
Yeah, they
could, Miami.
They could franchise tag him and try to trade him, I guess. I mean, obviously teams do that all the time. But anyway, going back to the game here, we bring up all these questions because ultimately I want to know what is the blame. So do you feel any different about the double doink now that you know it was a block? And...
Okay. Even if it was like a complete block where the guy just slapped it out of the air, I wouldn't feel any differently anyway.
I would still blame Parkey. Like,
and if you watch that, it doesn't change the direction of that kick very much. And if he got it, it's pretty slight, I felt like.
Yeah.
So he just missed it. He missed the kick.
So
it was too low. If it gets hit, if a kick gets blocked, it's too low.
Percentage of blame, 1 through 100. How much is on Parkey?
The defense and the offense didn't play perfectly, so I'll give them each a quarter of the blame, and Parkey can take the other 50.
All right. Brendan? How much is on Parkey?
I was going to say 25% on Parkey, 25% on the defense, and then 50% on the offense. You know.
Yeah, settled for 3 field goals. That fourth one wouldn't have mattered if you know, turn one of those field goals into a touchdown. Wouldn't have mattered as much if you convert the 2-point conversions we talked about. It would have just sent the game to overtime. So, yeah, I mean, it's tough. Obviously, everyone's going to remember that last play, and especially the way it happened because he had hit 5 posts earlier in the year. To hit a 6th one kind of is, like, poetic, I guess.
Well, my biggest problem with it is that they never brought in anyone to
I was on
the podcast the week after it happened, and we were laughing about how he's done. They're definitely bringing guys in, and he's out the door. They didn't even bring anyone in. It was like a Ryan Pace, I'm smarter than everybody move, and it did not work. And now he looks really dumb.
Well, could it be Matt Nagy was like sticking by him too, saying, let's not bring anybody in?
Well, I think that's stupid. He was performing pretty poorly. You don't want someone who's performing better than that. They guaranteed the guy $9 million. That's why they didn't bring anybody in.
They would have. I don't know if they would have made a switch, even if they brought anybody. I don't think they would have. It's not like we talked about this. There wasn't a great options out there. But I think because of the money, they were going to stick with him regardless. And not this year.
I wouldn't be surprised if they stick with him again next year because
of the
money.
I think he'll be back.
I think he'll be in training camp. I do, and I think it'll be in a battle. They'll draft someone late or get an undrafted guy to battle with them, and that's when it's going to come down to, because $5 million cap hit if you cut them before June 1st, or $4 million, something around there, if afterward. So $4 million to your kicker on your cap space, that's a big deal. So.
Sure.
Or you pay him, what, the $2.5 million he would get paid next year.
I think he'll be back. I mean, they said they have supreme confidence in him, even after all those doinks. So they still love him, so he's back. I don't understand why. I don't know why he was still there in this game. It was the one thing that I heard from everyone I talked to about the Bears is, what do you think, Parkey will make a kick?
Yeah.
No. Nope.
It is clearly their weakness. I did see on Twitter, I think it was Bill Cowher said, you know, your strengths get you to the playoffs, and your weaknesses take you out of it. The Bears defense obviously got them in the playoffs this year. That was unbelievable. And their one weakness was the kicker. Glaring weakness. And he's the reason they're not playing this weekend.
It's a shame because he had a chance to write a different story. People would have completely, maybe not completely, but people would have forgotten all those doings.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
That wouldn't have mattered at all. You hit that kick, you can stick around for.
Yeah.
So, stay till you're 40, please.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a shame that.
Well, until he misses the game winner in LA the next week.
I wouldn't have expected them to beat LA next week. I was expecting this as a let's win one. Hopefully that's a stepping stone. And if they beat LA somehow, okay. Wow. But I wasn't expecting it.
Right. Do you guys want to do anything else here about the Bears before we move on? Are you guys happy? Do you want to?
Not happy. They're not playing this weekend.
Are you happy?
A poor question.
Are you happy with the discussion we've had, the discussion you guys have had, and are we ready to move on from the double doink?
Yeah, I'm happy we didn't do this like Sunday night. I would have had a more colorful feelings.
Oh, I wish we would have done it Sunday night.
I have more time to reflect.
It would have made for a great show, and John wouldn't have been in the bathroom. So, all right. So, we are moving on to the divisional round. Real quick, obviously, Indy, Dallas, Chargers, LA Chargers, and Philly all won. So now we have Indy going to Kansas City to take on the number one seed Chiefs. That is your first game Saturday. 3:30 start here, local time. Hello. Dallas. Yep. Dallas will go to the Rams. That's your Saturday night game. Around noon, you got the Chargers going to New England to take on the Patriots. And then the Philadelphia Eagles go into the number one seed New Orleans Saints Sunday evening. We'll start there in KC. It's the first game on the schedule. We can kind of just go game by game here. We'll pick our winners, who we think are going to win. The key matchups maybe you're looking excited to look at and to watch. And basically you're... You know, the guy that you want, the guy that you think is the, I can't think of the phrase, the guy you think is going to be the reason they win. What the hell is that phrase? Okay, so, Indy, Kansas City. I love the...
Who you got?
Who you got? Who you got?
What's in the box?
There it is. All right, so starting in Kansas City. I love the run Indy's on. It's great. I like that Indy's back. You know, I like when there's a couple of, you know, teams to challenge New England. And I think both of these teams are teams that are capable of going up against New England and winning. I just don't know if the Colts defense is at the level where they can shut down this Chiefs team. And I think the big play guy here, obviously Mahomes, his first playoff game, obviously we saw three guys make their first career playoff game this past week and all come up short. So I think Mahomes will be that guy that can do it because he's having a magical season. There's no doubt about it. He's, you know, number one fantasy quarterback, number one quarterback. He'll probably be the MVP of the league. And like I said, I just don't think that defense for the Colts can do enough. Now, this is going to probably be a shootout because Kansas City's defense isn't great either, and the Colts have been, you know, pretty good offensively. You know, Max going, Lux rolling well pretty much since, you know, week 7 here, and I think I'm going to take the Chiefs to win this one in a high-scoring game, probably 38-33. And like I said, I think Mahomes is going to step up and continue his dominance. And for the first time in I don't know how long, the Chiefs will win a playoff game.
I like that pick. I think the Chiefs, you know, they started off the season so spectacularly. Had some unfortunate news and incidents that obviously occur with Kareem Hunt and teams kind of taking a slight turn for the worse since then. But I think, you know, they had the week two, they had the week off. They're at Arrowhead. Although the Colts are rolling, I think if Kansas City needs to put up points, kind of like you said, Brad, you know, they could turn that on and do it. So I do like Mahomes to get his first playoff win in a high-scoring affair.
Okay. These are my two favorite AFC teams, so I wish this was the championship round. But it isn't. I love Luck. I loved him all year. He looks elite again, like I said earlier. I think he won't have a problem. I don't think the entire offense will have a problem scoring against Kansas City. Nobody has. Kansas City has looked a little off since Hunt's been gone, but they've got that hodgepodge of Damian Williams and Spencer Ware and the other Williams guy.
Dexter?
Daryl Williams.
Started with a D, though.
And Mahomes has just been so good. And Hill and Sammy Watkins looks like he's coming back.
Yeah, that's big.
So Andy Reid with a bye week is usually pretty good. I think their offense is too elite that maybe Indy needs one more year. I don't know. I think Kansas City wins. Close.
All right, so we're all in agreement, Kansas City. We like the Colts. We like the story. They've been, you know, a fun surprise team this year, but looks like that might be coming to an end.
It's got
to
be Andy Reid's turn sometime.
Yeah, you would think so. I mean, he's had so much success in the regular season. Maybe he finally gets over that hump with, you know, a legit star quarterback. Dallas at the Rams. I mean, I'll just come out and say I think Dallas, that defense is very, very good, but I think they play so much better at home. And I think the Rams, they were kind of going in that same kind of direction there. Like we were talking with the Chiefs when Hunt went out, they weren't the same. The Rams kind of hit a little lull there as well. Gurley missed a few games there towards the end of the season. They did hold on to get the 2 seed. And I think that was huge because they needed the bye probably more than anybody else of the playoff teams going. And they're going to get healthy here. Gurley's going to be good to go. They're going to have a good game plan going up against. I guarantee you they were probably thinking they were going to play the Bears. And now going up against the Cowboys isn't too much of a change there. There's not a whole lot. Obviously, much better running game.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they're going to be good to go offensively. They're going to be able to really turn it up against that good defense. And just there's just too much there with McVay, the receivers Cooks and Woods, and who knows if they continue to do what they did most of the year with the 3 receivers, or later on in the season there they were getting the couple of tight ends going there between Higbee and Everett. So maybe they do that. And they're going to be a team that's going to throw a lot of guys out there. And hey, C.J. Anderson might be like a dark horse here and might factor into this thing all of a sudden. So I just think there's too much there offensively. It's not going to be a cupcake matchup there like they had with the Seahawks. And I think Dak's going to be the Dak we all know and love and not be able to do what he did against, you know, the Rams defense that obviously hasn't been great all year, but they got the players. Obviously, they got one of the best in the league. So I think the Rams are going to win this one because of that bye, getting healthy and getting everything right.
Yeah, the Rams have been down since that Bears game. They haven't looked the same, but they've got all the guys to do it. And I think the difference is Dak Prescott, I still don't think he's great. Dallas' defense is good, but I don't think they're good enough to stop an elite Rams offense. I think Gurley can run or catch on them, and they've got Cooks. Woods is still there, right?
Yeah, Robert Woods.
He didn't get hurt.
No, he's good to go.
So I like I think the Rams will win. I think they'll win kind of easy, maybe 2 touchdowns.
So I look at all 4 of these games and either really like the 1 and 2 seeds, or in the case of the Patriots, they seem to do it every year. Someone's going to get upset, and it's tough to pick that game. I don't feel comfortable doing that in this case. I think the Rams are just, they have too much firepower, as you guys have touched on with that offense. So, and then not only that, I mean, their defense, too, is stout enough up front where I think they can slow down Zeke, make Dallas one more, you know, one-dimensional, and, you know, force Dak to win the game, which I think will be very tough for him to do on the road. So, you know, this is a game where I do have to go with the favorite here, and I'm going to take the Rams.
All right. So, again, we're all in agreement there. And like you said, it's tough when these 4 teams that just played this weekend, they're a little bit banged up. Now they're going up against a team that's fresh, ready to go, got a good game plan going in. So it's going to be tough to pick the upsets. But I think we might have some upsets coming in this next one. Chargers at the Patriots. I think the Patriots are obviously a tough out in the playoffs in Foxborough. Ultimately, I went with the Chargers here. I had the Chargers winning the AFC at the beginning of the year. I had them actually losing. I'm happy to say I had the Chargers, but I'm kind of embarrassed to say I had them losing to the Falcons in the Super Bowl. But since the Chargers are still alive, I will stick with them. I'm going to keep riding them. And I think the whole thing, Philip Rivers, his whole career, obviously he's never been to the Super Bowl. But his whole career, he's been going up against Tom Brady and the New England Patriots and Bill Belichick. Also in the AFC, Ben Roethlisberger his whole career and the really good Steelers teams. He also had Peyton Manning for most of his career and the Colts and Broncos. So it's not a slight to say, you know, Rivers can't win the big game or Rivers isn't great because he hasn't won an AFC championship game. It's just bad timing. If he comes in the league, you know, 10 years earlier, 10 years later, might be a totally different story. We might be talking about one of the greatest of all time because he's been pretty damn good. And I think this might be his time, too. I think, like, the only other AFC quarterback to play in the Super Bowl the last 15 years, Joe Flacco, other than those three guys I already named, Joe Flacco had an unbelievable run in the playoffs, and he got them, won the Super Bowl. Maybe Phillip Rivers didn't do a whole lot against the Ravens, but now's the time against lesser defenses where I think he's going to have an opportunity to really take that next step and put, you know, a crown on his pretty good career, as I said already. So I will stick with the team I picked to win the AFC and the Chargers to win this game. Plus, of course, I hate the Patriots and Tom Brady.
So I saw a stat this week that Philip Rivers is 0-7 in his career against the Patriots. So like you talked about, yes, you know, he's had some tough quarterbacks that he's had to overcome in that conference, Brady being one of them. You know, New England has forever, it seems like, owned the AFC. But I feel like this is the year where that finally ends. They don't quite look like the Patriots of old. You know, the offense has slowed down a bit. Brady does not look like he has a few years back. Gronk certainly doesn't look like himself. They, you know, have had some success at the running back position, but I feel like they've almost had more success when they were focusing and leaning on one guy. So you saw, you know, White had some good games early on in the season. Sonny Michel's had a couple big games where they've leaned on him. But now, since Burkhead's been back, they're trying to get all three involved, and it seems like they're having a hard time getting, you know, somebody rolling. So, you know, L.A. didn't necessarily look great last week. You know, they relied on their kicker of all people. Bears fans.
hey, he was available.
To basically, you know, win them that game. But I do like the Chargers in this one. In a very close-scoring affair, I think they're going to win similar as they did last week with defense first. But, you know, Rivers finds a way to throw a couple touchdown passes and to finally knock off Brady.
Yeah, Philip Rivers and his beautiful wife, Tiffany Rivers, have 8 children. Did you know that?
Yes, I did.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
It's pretty. Yeah, I think it is Rivers time. I said earlier in the podcast that I was going to pick the Chargers, so I didn't. Not much of a tease. But I love all the Rivers weapons. Mike Williams, Tyrell Williams, Keenan Allen, Melvin Gordon. I think this is his. Probably is one of his more complete offensive teams other than when he had LT. So I think they can do some damage against New England. I think they have the offense that can make some plays at the end of the game if that's close. And I think it'll be close since it always is with New England in the playoffs. But it just feels like Rivers' time. And I want to see Tom Brady go down. So
talking about the weapons there and offensively, Hunter Henry – the tight end
coming back.
Everyone was big on preseason, got hurt, missed the whole year. He's been activated. You don't know what he's going to be, how much he's going to be used, but he's another weapon maybe New England has to look at and kind of figure a game plan out for. So
probably just as healthy as Gronk, if not more.
Yeah, really. I mean, Gronk's just a mess, back and legs and everything. Absolutely. This could be the Chargers' time. I hope we're right. I think a lot of people agree they want to see the fall of the Patriots. Final game, Philadelphia Eagles going to New Orleans. This one, I think, is the one game I look at. I I'm done with Philly. I think they had a nice run last year. Obviously, a great run last year with Foles. To get to this point, they've had a nice run, but Foles at times hasn't been great in these wins. The game last year against Atlanta in the playoffs, he didn't do a whole lot. They got the victory. The game against the Rams this year, he didn't do a whole lot. They got the victory. This Sunday, he didn't do a whole lot against the Bears. They got the victory. So I think now against the Saints, that defense isn't going to bail him out the same way. The Saints, too good of an offense. They're going to go up and down the field at will. At home, they're so good. They've had a week to prepare. Doesn't matter who they're playing. If it was going to be Dallas or Philly or Seattle, they knew they were just flat out better. And I think Saints, with all those offensive weapons, easily win this game. I think this is the one game I look at and I say,
there's no way they should lose
14 New Orleans to 20 points. Yeah, absolutely.
Especially at home.
Yeah.
That offense at home is unstoppable.
Well, before Philly got on their run, didn't New Orleans destroy them at home? So, obviously, that was 6-7 weeks ago. Things have changed, but how much have they changed?
Breeze is going to get rid of the ball, and they're going to score a lot of points, and Foles is going to have to keep up. I think he got his last magic win, and New Orleans should win this easy. Breeze.
All right, I'm going to...
It'll be a breeze.
Breeze.
I'm going to go out on a limb here.
Breeze through this one.
I'm going to say... I'm throwing a curveball in here. I'm going with St. Nick. I think the guy has a little bit of magic left, and that they... Yes, they got beat by the Saints. What was it? 40... What was the score in that game? 48-7 earlier this year. I think that was one of their losses before they ended the season. 5-1 regular season. So 6-1 over their last 7 now with the win over the Bears. I think they have completely become a different team. And they managed to fight off the Saints. I think New Orleans, too, has sputtered at times, where Breeze started the season on a complete tear. You know, maybe it's old age that's catching up with him later in the year. And, you know, outside of Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara and even Ingram, they run out of options there. And Eagles, in a shocker, advance into the NFC Championship.
I don't think it's mattered much who Breeze's other receiver has been.
Well, they got Ted Ginn back, too.
Oh, they do have Ted Ginn back.
Ted Ginn's healthy now. And
is Traquan around?
Traquan's still there, and Cam Meredith.
Brandon Marshall's gone still?
Brandon Marshall and Dez Bryant are both not there. But, yeah, I think...
I forgot about Dez Bryant.
I think all the offensive guys, the receivers they have, it doesn't really matter. Breeze puts it on them. They make catches. Ginn's a nice guy to stretch the field. But between Thomas and Kamara and Ingram, I think that'll be enough to get this victory. And ultimately, I think get him to a Super Bowl. So.
Yeah, I think Breeze gets back to the Super Bowl.
All right, so that is the week we have ahead here, the divisional round. Real quickly, guys, if you want to get a hold of us, I don't know if I should do it, right?
Always, okay.
every week.
Time. I'm not supposed to be here.
I should have done it earlier.
Fly away!
If you want to get a hold of us.
Bye, Spartan.
We are still on Twitter. That's @fantasy_hustle. You'll see our email on there. That's thefantasyhustle@gmail.com. And our voicemail, which you can call us, at 219-576-6797. Well, Brendan, Matt, thank you guys for coming in and being your fourth time on the show here in 2019 now. Unfortunately, John couldn't be here to give us another, you know, perspective of the heartbroken Bear fan, but you know, he's got something else hurting him right now. It's his tummy. So thank you guys for stopping in. Stratton, thanks for doing your voices and your...
What voices?
His own that voice one. Into the mic?
Just right now?
I thought he was good at that,
it's
too.
Lovely.
Who was that?
I have
why
no
are you
idea
doing
what you're talking about.
I'm sorry. So, yeah, if you guys don't have anything else, no.
I have something. Can I butt in? You can tell me later whether or not I should cut it out. Once the season is over and you guys are done talking about the playoffs and the Super Bowl and all that stuff, I would like to continue the fantasy hustle, but in parentheses, each episode will say off-season. So if you call the voicemail line, what is it again? It's 219-576-6797. Yes. I have it memorized. give us suggestions about some of the topics you want the guys to talk about in the off-season. It does not have to be about football, or it could be about anything. It could be about beers. We're trying to figure out what to do off-season. So we might just cut it off and go off-season, no episodes, except pop up occasionally for some draft news. But I would like to keep it going weekly. But, yeah, call the voicemail line or send that email to thefantasyhustle@gmail.com and give any suggestions about what you want to do. Thanks, Brad.
All right, thank you. That's why you're the best producer in Hobart, Indiana.
Why don't you trigger some of those odd advertisements online? All right, I'm done.
All right. Everyone enjoy the divisional round, and hopefully we'll be back to talk about what happened and the conference championship games.
Watch the box.
Bye.